In Luke chapter 8 and verses 4 through 18, starting in verse 4, and when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. His disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they, which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word, and we're thankful, Lord, for this great opportunity we have once again to gather around the word of God. We would ask for your blessing now, Lord, as we look into this passage, and may it be helpful for all of us. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 18 in particular says this, Take heed therefore how ye hear. Take heed how you hear. In a parallel passage in Mark chapter 4, the Lord Jesus said there, Take heed what you hear. But in this passage in Luke, he says, Take heed therefore how you hear. Be careful how you listen. Be careful how you hear. Be careful with what you do, with what you hear. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. He gives the story or the parable of the sower who went out and sowed his seed. There are four basic areas that were covered by this seed. One went on the roadside or the wayside. Some went on a rock, some went amongst thorns, and some went on good ground. The Lord Jesus went on to explain to the disciples what that meant. First of all, he points out that the seed is the word of God. And so it's relevant to you and I, take heed how you hear the word of God. In other words, take heed. Make sure when you hear it in a way that you're going to respond in a way that's right. The seed is the word of God. And so he says, Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now all of us, I believe, would have experienced that to a greater or lesser extent at times. We're reading a passage or we hear some preaching, and we hear this little voice say, You don't have to take any notice of that. Or whatever else the devil might put there. In other words, He's very keen to try and distract us or to cause us to turn away or reject God's word or just go yawn, ha ha, heard all that before. And the devil will come along, and he will try and take away the word out of our hearts so that we might believe and be saved. He says the second area was this, the rock, they on the rock, are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And so the temptations, the tests that can come into our lives can cause us to be moved or turn away from God's word, the seed. He then says, the next one in verse 14, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Now I see there those three that the Lord Jesus talks about, the cares and riches and pleasures, are so much a part of our society today. The cares, choked with cares, weighted down with troubles and problems and all these things, and they choke out the word of God. Instead of focusing on what God says and believing what God says and doing what God says, these cares come along and they choke out the word. Or the riches. And today in our materialistic society, the great snare is riches. Everybody wants the biggest and the best and the latest and the greatest. And those things, if we're not careful, even as believers, can become gods or idols to us, and we focus more on how much we have in material possessions rather than our walk with God. We just kind of add that on the end. And then the other one there, the pleasures of this life. And we live in a world today where everything's about being entertained. It's about being amused. It's about having fun. That's the world we live in. And those areas of pleasures of this life, they choke out the word. We're too busy having fun. We're too busy being amused. We're too busy enjoying the pleasures of this life rather than taking heed to the word of God. And so they're the three main areas the Lord spoke about that really didn't bring anything of any great value. The fourth one was the good ground. He said that is an honest and a good heart. Having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. I trust this morning we're all in that verse. Verse 15, good ground, an honest and a good heart. And having that desire to hear and to keep or to do the word of God. But they're the four there that the Lord Jesus spoke about. He then went on and said about the man who lights a candle, he does not, when he lights it, he doesn't cover it or put it under a bed. He sets it there so they which enter in may see the light. He says, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. So these various grounds that the seed has fallen upon, God knows all about them, amen? They're all naked and open before him. And so he says in verse 80, take heed therefore, knowing that everything's going to be open and naked before God, knowing that we cannot hide anything, knowing that all these dangers surround us, whether they're the devil or whether it's the cares of this world, or whether it's the riches, the pleasures, whether it's the tests of life, whatever it is, they're all open and naked before God. And so the Lord Jesus said, you need to take heed how you hear. You take heed how you hear. And then he sounds a warning. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. That's the good soil. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. It's a challenging part of the verse, isn't it? The Lord Jesus said, if you don't hear in the right way, if you don't hear in a way that is a heart that is good and honest, and looking to keep or do God's word, he said, you will lose even that which you have. illustration, King Saul. Saul, I want you to go and destroy all the Amalekites. He comes back, he hasn't destroyed them all. I want you to destroy all the animals. He comes back, they haven't destroyed them all. And so what happens? Saul did not take heed how he heard the word of God. He listened to what the prophet said, went out, did his own thing, came back, and he lost the throne as a result. He lost the kingdom as a result. What did the Lord say? To him shall be given those who have, those who have heard the right way. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemed to have. Here's King Saul. He's the king of Israel. And God said, I'm taking that away from you. You did not listen to what I said. You did not take heed as to how you heard what Samuel said to you. And I'm now taking the throne and I'm removing you from the rulership. There's an example, isn't it, of what the Lord Jesus was talking about. So it's important how we listen, how we take heed to the word of God. It's a matter of salvation, how we hear the word of God. You know, we've got various ways of hearing it. Cain, right back in the book of Genesis, when God spoke to him, how did he respond to the word of God? He got angry with God, didn't he? God said there's a way of salvation that's through the blood of a lamb. There's a way of salvation that comes through sacrifice, a life for a life. There's a way of salvation. Cain and Cain got angry with God. We go to the New Testament and we find a rich young ruler. And when he was confronted with the gospel, with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says he didn't take heed to how he was supposed to take heed either. Because he went away sorrowful. And so some are going to get sad, like the rich young ruler. Some are going to get mad, like Cain. And some will get glad, like Zacchaeus. When the Lord Jesus came to Zacchaeus, who was up on that tree, and he came down and he said, today salvation has come to this home. And Zacchaeus was glad. Amen. Now, each of these three hear the message of salvation. One gets mad, and one gets sad, and the other one gets glad. The devil takes some away for some. The tests of this life choke out some. The cares of this world, the riches and the pleasures choke it out, and therefore people do not get saved because they do not take heed how they hear. They do not come with a heart that says, if this is true, I want to know. If this is right, I want to know. And I'll try and do what God wants me to do. But I want to look at how some people listen, or the response they make when they listen. So I say this in the context of, if you're going to be sharing the word of God with people, not everybody's going to say, well, that is just wonderful. I'm so glad you shared that with me. I'm just blessed. Some are going to get mad. Some will get angry. And if you want to be a preacher one day, or you want to do some preaching, mark it down. There will be some who will not say, fantastic, I really appreciate that. There will be those who will be a little bit other than that. So let's go back into the Old Testament and look at a couple of the kings there and see how they responded, first of all, to the word of God, or to the man of God who shared the word of God. So 2 Chronicles chapter 16, first of all. And the king at the moment is Asa. Verse 1, in the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah, to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. And so Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go, break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he might depart from me. Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa and sent the captains of his army against the cities of Israel, and they smote Ijon and Dan and Abel-Maim and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass when Baasha heard that he left off building of Ramah, and he let his work cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof wherewith Baasha was building, and he built there with Geba and Mizpah. So far, so good. They've accomplished what they wanted. They got rid of Baasha, and it's all looking good until verse 7. And at that time, Hanani the seer, God's man, comes to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Now notice his response to the word of God. Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in prison house. For he was in a rage with him because of this thing, and Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. Interesting, isn't it? He hears the word of God. Instead of saying, thank you, Hanani, appreciate the word, it's obviously from the Lord, and could you please help me now? I need to repent. I need to get my life right with God. I've sinned. I've relied on the heathen instead of on God, and I've done wrong. Please pray with me and for me. I need to get right with God. No. He was wroth. He was very angry. He was in a rage with Hanani and put him in prison. That's a good approach, isn't it? He obviously didn't take any heed to what the Lord Jesus said, take heed how ye hear. You say, what happened then? Well, and behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, while they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians, and Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 41st year of his reign. The Lord took away from him that which he had, and he still didn't turn to God. You see, the Lord says, take heed how you hear. You have a look two chapters across into chapter 18. Another well-known character in the scriptures, King Ahab. And King Ahab was a wicked and an evil king. He and Jehoshaphat were yoking up to go off to battle. Wrong move, Jehoshaphat. Verse 7, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil. Ahab hadn't yet learnt that you're supposed to take heed how you hear. He said, I hate that preacher. I hate him. He never says anything good. And you feel like, Ahab, could that be because you don't do anything good? Could that be because you're a wicked reprobate? And so he's not happy with the word of God and with the man of God. And so the story goes on about how the prophets said to Jehoshaphat and Ahab, sure, just go up and you'll have a good time and you'll win the battle and it'll be all good. Well, Jehoshaphat was a little bit wiser in the sense that he said, tell me, Ahab, are there any other prophets of God that we might be able to call on? And verse 12, the messenger that went to call Micah spake to him, saying, behold, the words of the prophets declare good to the king with one assent. Let thy word, therefore, I pray thee, be like one of theirs, and speak thou good, And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, even what my God saith, that will I speak. That ought to be where we're all at, amen. What God says, that's what I'm going to speak. I get tired of hearing you say, what does the Bible say? That's fine, you can get tired of it. I'm going to keep doing it. Because Micaiah had the right idea. Even what my God saith, that will I speak. Doesn't matter about your opinion and my opinion. So he comes to the king. The king said, Micaiah, shall we go up to battle? And verse 15, the king said to him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou say nothing but the truth to me in the name of the Lord? Isn't it incredible how people get all messed up? Ahab says to Jehoshaphat earlier, I hate him. He never prophesies anything good. Then the prophet turns up and he said, now I want you to tell me the truth in the name of the Lord. I mean, if I was Micaiah, I'd say, oh, what have I done in the past? And you haven't taken any notice of what God has told you. Ahab, you need to take heed how you hear. And so he goes on and tells how Ahab's going to lose the battle. Well, Ahab didn't take too kindly to that. So in verse 25, then the king of Israel said, take ye Micaiah and carry him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction till I return in peace. Makes you want to be a preacher, doesn't it, back in those days? Boy, I wish I was a prophet back then. Oh, my. King Ahab, you need to take heed how you hear. God is trying to tell you something. God actually is on your side if you'll only stop and listen to what he's saying. You come into the New Testament in Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, and you know, you would think at least with the Lord Jesus, well, they'll all listen to him because, I mean, he's the Son of God and he's the Messiah, and everybody will be careful how they listen to him. Well, in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. He reads that opening verse there in Isaiah chapter 61. He closes the book in verse 20. And then the eyes of all them were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say, verse 21, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Now, notice what it says there. The gracious words are proceeding out of his mouth. So far, so good. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is except in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, under a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And notice what happens now. He's been speaking gracious words to them. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were what? Filled with wrath. Imagine. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. What I'm preaching is the Word of God. And they all got mad with him. Verse 29, and they rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him under the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. That's how mad they were. Said, we're going to kill him. We're going to throw him off the cliff. But he passing through the midst of them went his way. It's amazing, isn't it? Take heed how you hear. I want to look at one more. In the book of Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, and we find Stephen, the first martyr. He's been preaching away there for some time to the crowd, to the religious leaders. And in verse 51 of Acts chapter 7, he says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it." Notice their response. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. They were just so thankful for the word that he shared. I don't think so, were they? They were anything but happy. They gnashed upon him with their teeth. And then it goes on and says there, when he looked up in verse 56, "Behold, I see the heavens open, the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Notice again, "Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him till he died." He was sharing the word of God with them. They didn't receive it very well, did they? Take heed how you hear. Now, you and I may not come in the category of Ahab or Asa or whatever, but we still need to take heed how we hear. The other side of that is when you're going to share the word of God with some people, some will get mad. We had a very interesting time yesterday. Gary could tell you about that. Some people get mad. That's just, you've got to mark that down in your book. But it doesn't matter what some people do until we approach the word of God in the right fashion. Amen. Take heed how I hear. Doesn't matter what Ahab or Asa did in one sense. We ought to learn from him. So how should we hear? I want to suggest a couple of thoughts. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, Samuel is a child. The Lord called to him. He went to Eli the priest and said, "Here I am." Eli said, "No, I didn't call you." Second time, same thing. Third time, and then Eli said something very, very wise to Samuel. He said, "Next time you hear the Lord, here's what you should say. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." That's how you're supposed to hear. Amen. "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." You follow the story through. Eli came to Samuel and said, "What did God have to say?" He was a little intimidated, a little concerned, because God had said to Eli, "Tell Eli he's finished. His family's finished. It's all over," God says. Here's this child, Samuel. But he said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And when Eli came to him, he said, "Tell me what he said." He told him what he said. How do I hear the word of God? Be like young Samuel. "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Or maybe we could look at Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, in John chapter 2, when they were in trouble there at the wedding. They'd run out of drink and they wanted to get some more. And Mary said to his servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." That's how we ought to hear, amen? That's how we ought to hear. When God speaks to us through his word, whether it's through preaching, our own personal devotions, or sharing with someone, when God speaks to us through his word, we should say, "Yes, Lord, I'm going to do it." That's how you're supposed to listen, amen? That's how you're supposed to hear. Or we could look in the book of Acts chapter 9, when the apostle Paul was saved on the road to Damascus, in Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. When he was confronted by the Lord Jesus, he said this, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" That's how you're supposed to hear. That's how you and I are supposed to hear the word of God. "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Lord, whatever you say, I'll do it. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That's how we're supposed to hear, amen? And I trust God will help us to listen in that way. Remember, if we don't, what the Lord Jesus said, "Take heed therefore how you hear, for whosoever hath him shall be given," the blessings will come. "Whosoever hath not," in other words, who didn't hear in the right way, "from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." And may the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning as we think about that. Take heed how you hear the word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that thy word is truth. And Lord, we've looked at some things there this morning, particularly with this aspect of how we hear. Do we hear like Samuel, the young child? Do we hear like the servants that Mary addressed? Do we hear like the Apostle Paul when he got saved there on the road to Damascus? Is that how we hear? Or are we more like Asa or Ahab or the crowd who got angry at the word of God? Are we more like those that the seed falls, the word falls, and the cares of this world and the riches and the pleasures come and choke out the word? The tests of life come and choke out the word. The devil comes and chokes out the word. Lord, help us to examine our own hearts. And Lord, help us to take heed how we hear your word. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to close out with one more hymn this morning, 366. If we can turn there, 366. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mould me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. That's how we're supposed to hear, amen? Yielded and still.